everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
It's been 40 years since the iconic Wheel of Fortune game show made its entrance into the homes of millions of Americans, and with a hostess whose beauty is still garnering attention today, a small-town girl from Missouri who had overcome great challenges to be the force behind one of the most successful syndicated shows in television history. So why did this beauty, former model, and literally, quote, hostess with the mostess, choose to walk away at the pinnacle of her career, and in reality, the millions she would have garnered had she stayed? Here to talk about this and so much more in part one of my two-part exclusive is legendary hostess, actress, humanitarian, and now doctor of psychology and chaplain, as well as author of her riveting and revealing autobiography, Stop the Wheel, I Want to Get Off, and founder of Wheel of Grace Unlimited Ministries. Would you please welcome with me to Testimony the amazing Susan Stafford. Susan, welcome to Testimony.
My goodness, that was good, Jensine. My gosh, are you talking about me?
I'm talking about you, Susan. I was entrenched in the reading of your book, The Life You've Lived, The People You've Met, and The Places You've Been. Yours truly is a story from, quote, humble beginnings to incredible fame, favor, and fortune. And while there's not enough time in our two segments to cover it all, Susan, would you just begin to tell our audience why you made the decision to leave Wheel of Fortune, where you were at that time in your life, and then for part two, I want to focus on how you came to faith in Jesus Christ, who for you would be a game changer in every sense of the word. Susan, please tell us your story.
Let me do the best I can in the length of time we have. When I got a Wheel of Fortune, it was called Shopper's Bazaar, and Mer Griffin produced it, and we sold it to NBC. And it grew steadfast, and we became the number one show in America. I started with Chuck Woolery, who's also a follower of the Lord, I stayed on until Chuck left and Pat Sajak came on. And what had happened is I went to India because I serve all faiths as long as it's with the Lord Jesus. And I went to India to work with Father D'Souza with leprosy. And I did that on my hiatus, which, of course, of the people that are in the industry know hiatus is when you have your time off. And I remember my father saying, what are you going to India for? You don't have to go over there to leprosy. You can just stay here and take care of the American people and the homeless people and the children. So it was a little bit of a pull in my heart. But when I got there, I knew why I was there. I was there because I knew that I could never settle for turning letters ever again, that I had to do more with my life. And even though it was good fame and money, I knew that I had to do it, but I couldn't do it on my own. So I had what we know as a calling. And that calling was, give it up, darling, give it up. I'll take care of you. But naturally, we don't walk out on anything because we have ethics, and those ethics were when my contract came up, I asked that I could take a powder and leave Wheel of Fortune because I wanted to go work with the Untouchables, and that was the beginning of my walk. And, of course, they thought that I was trying to get more money, which is typical of Hollywood and contracts. And so they offered me a much bigger contract, and then we had to come back and tell them this is not a game. This is the real deal. We wanted to leave, and we went into cancer work before we went overseas. And so that's the shortest length of time I can give you, my dear sister.
Well, that's pretty power-packed. I know for our listeners who have watched Wheel of Fortune in the past, you made the Guinness World Book of Records as the original hostess on Wheel of Fortune, and you were with them for 7 years, and your departure was just when they were getting ready to be syndicated during nighttime. You had a conversation with Murray Schwartz, who worked side by side with Merv Griffin, and what did he say to you, Susan, and what did you say to him?
Well, Murray Schwartz was the president of Merv Griffin Productions, and they also owned Jeopardy and several other things, so it was quite an empire at the time. And he said to me that he thought the Jewish word's mashika, which is nuts. And I explained to him that my heart, it was about things I couldn't explain because I myself would not leave. Me, by myself, I wouldn't leave a number one show that was going nighttime and become prime time. Come on now. I would not do that, but something which we know, of course, is called the Spirit of the Lord that comes into you said, you got to go now, darling. You got to move now. You got to take it now. It's never going to. In fact, he even said to me, well, there's a place right across from NBC, St. Joseph. Go there and do part-time. I said, no, that's not what I've got to go. I've got to walk. And so I thought the show was good enough. It will always maintain itself. It's a good show. And so I did. And I guess I have to tell you in total truth, I missed the money, but I don't miss the wonderful ride I've had. Mm-mm.
Right. Now, you said in your book that, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to actress Susan Stafford and author of Stop the Wheel, I Want to Get Off, and founder of Wheel of Grace Unlimited Ministries. This is part one of a two-part exclusive in your book, Susan, which was riveting in my view. All of the people, the places, all of the experiences that you went through. I mean, here's a small town girl. You're one of seven. You were separated from your family at an early age. You say in your book you had abandonment issues, and your father had a drinking problem. There were problems in the family, but your father was an entrepreneur. They ran their own business and cafe, and you explain all of that in detail in your book. You were well-loved in your own family and in the family that pseudo-adopted you, as I was reading in your book, but that presented some issues for you. Early on, people saw your beauty. They wanted you to model. They entered you into beauty pageants. You easily won. It's almost as if God said, I am picking this girl out of this family, and I'm going to put her on the world stage. But now, fade forward in your book, you say, I got tired of being termed as the girl who turns the letters. And in some way, you said, you felt diminished by that. Can you explain?
Surely. Well, you've done your homework very well, I must say. Well, firstly, let's go step one. Step one is nobody can be given to another family, even if it's in the same town, and not feel that there's something wrong with them. Even if the family does it for your own good, you feel like you've been given away. Even if you see them every week, there is something that must be overcome. And I think that's what helped me get my psychology degree, because I wanted to feel what that was, and it's helped me with a lot of people and a lot of issues. I believe what I'm answering to you is the fact that people would come in, and especially the wives were so good to me, which really is amazing, that they want to put me in a contest. And I remember going down to Kansas City and running for, I think it was a Miss Universe, one of those pageants, and I'm not being one of those things. And I wore a lavender, listen to this gene scene, I wore a lavender striped bathing suit. And I went down there, and everybody had on black bathing suits. Well, I only had one bathing suit, and that's the one I swam in. And so it was in good shape, though. And when I went to go out to walk on this platform in this bathing suit, which was a little embarrassing, somebody whispered, walk on your tiptoes, because all the other ladies had high heels on. And lo and behold, I think they took mercy on me, and I won the pageant. And that's really kind of how it started, unbeknownst to even me. You know, I mean, it wasn't like oh, yeah, I'm going to do that. It was like, oh, gee, I get to do that. Big attitude difference.
Well, it seems like your mom and dad may have instilled in you the attitude of an overcomer, one that doesn't complain. Your mom, you say in the book, was a fabulous cook, and you always felt loved, and she prepared the most wonderful meals, and they reached out to the community, and those that had less. We're going to talk about more of the humanitarian side of your story in part two, but for right now, I'm looking at Susan Stafford, soon to be a celebrity, whose last name originally is Carney, so you're of Italian-Irish heritage. Tell us how you got the name Stafford.
Okay. Good story, actually. I hope they enjoy it. It was really cute, actually. I drove out to stay with my sister in Los Alamitos and took a bus one time into L.A. Knew a couple people there, just maybe two. And they said, here, you've got to go to these agents. And I said, okay. But my father had a relationship with this wonderful man by the name of Sean Aloysius O'Finney, whose real name is John Ford. And he's the famous director. And so I got to go over and meet Pappy Ford, as we call him. And he said, you know, this Susan Carney is not going to cut here. It's just not going to cut. You've got to put Ford someplace in your name. And I said, well, I can't leave the name Carney. You know how loyal you are at the beginning and how you want to do everything that's not going to hurt your family feelings. And so he said, well, I think you should sign up as AG and change your name to Susan Stafford. And he says, it's euphonious. And I said, what's euphonious mean? He says, it rhymes. It goes together. And that I did. It broke my mother and father's heart. So I changed it.
Well, and the gentleman himself with the last name of Ford had quite the history. Can you talk about that?
Well, John Ford has been known for, actually, all the wonderful old time of, well, he had 9 Oscars on his fireplace, and I remember for all the things, Grape the Wrath, all these wonderful, mostly Western, shooting in Monument Valley, and I remember all these group of peoples that were around me that I had seen growing up, Joel McRae, and oh, just so many, Maureen O'Sullivan, and I remember saying to him, could I have one of these Oscars, Poppy? You have 9 of them. He says, no, that you have to earn on your own. I had no concept. I mean, I was green, and I don't think anybody out there listening at one time or another hasn't been green.
Well, exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to author, chaplain, a doctor of psychology, and former original hostess of the iconic Wheel of Fortune game show, celebrating over 40 years and syndicated in over 42 countries, and founder of Will of Grace Unlimited Ministries. We're going to hear more from Dr. Susan Stafford next week as she shares more of her incredible story for the glory of God. Susan, thank you for being with us on Testimony. We look forward to hearing more of your story next week. God bless you.
And the Lord bless you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to sing.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony. Hello, everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory. Last week, you heard just a sampling of a life that has made history in many ways. A Guinness Book of World Record holder as the original Wheel of Fortune hostess, as a pioneer for women in broadcast game shows, the first to get a microphone, first to make her own clothing deal, and the first to get an Emmy nomination. And I will add, the first to tell then-Governor Ronald Reagan he would be our next president when he wasn't even running. This intuitiveness would take my next guest beyond her wildest dreams, but also to her lowest depths. Having to overcome alcoholism, dyslexia, and more than a few bad marriages and relationships, the smile that brought her before millions in beautiful gowns and at lavish parties would begin to take its toll. How she overcame all of this is what we are going to talk about today in part two of my up-close and personal look at a celebrity that chose to walk away from the limelight to serve a higher calling, and that calling, Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome back to Testimony, a wonderful honor indeed, author of Stop the Wheel, I Want to Get Off, former original hostess of the iconic Wheel of Fortune game show, actress, model, humanitarian, and founder of Wheel of Grace Unlimited Ministries, and my dear friend, doctor and chaplain, Susan Stafford. Susan, welcome back to Testimony.
Thank you, Jensine. I might add, my dear friend also. Hi, honey. Thank you.
Great to have you here, Susan. Thank you so much. You know, before we go any further, I want our audience to also know that you have been honored with your own star on the Palm Springs Walk of Fame, as well as being Ambassador of Entertainment for the Walk of Stars in Las Vegas, Palm Springs, and Anaheim, California, as well as Goodwill Ambassador to Israel, having made many trips to this area and other areas of crisis throughout the world. Your work as a chaplain in all of these areas is well known, and for those who want to know more, they can pick up your book by going to susanstafford.org. For this segment today, Susan, I want our listeners to hear the hope you found in making Jesus the Lord of your life and how it enabled you to live a life of celebrity, come out of it alive, and now live to thrive in your humanitarian endeavors worldwide. Susan, please tell us more.
Thank you so much, because in order to share and touch the hearts of those people, and that's you right there that are listening right now, when the Lord touches your life, there's not a lot of choice, because you realize that without him, for me, I would not be alive, as Jensine well said. May 7th, 1972 was my day of finding the Lord Jesus Christ. And I realized that regardless of how much evil that were around, the power of evil around you is no match for the power of Jesus within you. And so I realized that when we have an opportunity to work, and I had an opportunity to work in the trenches, and from leprosy I went into coming back to the States, and our leprosy was AIDS. And that's who gave me my star, actually, on Palm Springs Walk of Star, was Rock Hudson's people, because I was able to go to Rock Hudson's home. If anybody remembers Rock Hudson, he was an actor, a good actor, and a great guy. And because he was a homosexual, I had a very hard time with not only Christians, but anybody picking up and taking him out to take him to a mortuary. And the lessons and the life I have learned by just being a servant has been overwhelming for me, because you see, I wasn't realizing that Hollywood pretty much eats their young, and religion is not what I serve. I serve the Master, Jesus Christ. Religion's for the birds, and God's for the people. So those people that are listening to, they can be going to church every day, Jensine, but or every Sunday or Wednesday or whatever. But if they don't have a personal relationship, then they're missing the boat. And so I have to say that, because the holy bliss is knowing him personally and then leaning on him. But I have been so pig-headed. Dying to myself has been, well, it's an everyday effort, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is. Now, you say you became a born-again Christian on May 7th, 1972. You mention Dr. Jack Hayford, Church on the Way, in your book. Is that where you found the Lord?
Found the Lord there, but you see, I'm not a first taker. I found the Lord with the Lord by myself. He presented himself to me when I just didn't want to go any further. I was empty. A lot of people out there might be empty, or they've given up hope. And that's the wonderful thing about the Lord. See, you only have two groups. You have those that believe and those that don't believe. So the people that believe understand what I'm talking about. But people that don't believe, they're the ones that I have to actually talk. Corrie ten Boom says you feel like you're talking to a tin, T-I-N, roof, where in essence you're talking and he's receiving. And like they get pick up the phone and they make an RSVP reservation, you got to make an RSVP reservation to get to heaven too. And so, I don't know who your demographics are for your audience, but I can tell you that every time that I've gotten down, I've gone to Jeremiah 29:11, which says, "For I know the thoughts that I have towards you," says the Lord, "thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And it's the hope I'm hanging on to, like most people hopefully know that that's the truth, because we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future.
Amen and amen. So literally what I'm hearing you say, Susan, is you cried out to God from the depths of your heart and your soul, and Jesus met you, because as a celebrity, you have to deal with a lot. You talk about that in your book. On page 87 of your book, there's a quote I'd like for our listeners to hear. "Trusting too many people and leading with my heart and not my head." That seemed to get you in a little bit of trouble on page 89. Quote, "Fear is such a killer." And then on page 111, "Riches can actually rob you." One of the reasons I wanted to bring you on testimony, this program is based on a scripture, Revelation 12:11. "We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony." And a testimony is powerful. Why, Susan? Because it has the ability to set a person free when they hear that someone in their current situation has been able to overcome what they're in. You've been able to overcome a lot. And in someone in your position and the amount of limelight you were in, you could have easily withdrawn from society and from people, felt sorry for yourself, and disappeared. But you didn't do that. What made you not do that?
Well, I think the easiest answer is the honest answer. The more that you know him, the more you want to know him. The more suffering that you have, the more you get on your knees. The more you get on your knees, the more you know him. It's actually, every day is a growth. I think it was Billy Graham's wife that said, "We're in process." There's not anybody out there that's not in process. We're all under construction. Not one of us can get by. Not one of us is not going to go on to this promised land who believe in John 3:16 as the Lord, as our Savior. There's no way out except to know him. And wouldn't you rather live your life knowing him than to live your life you didn't know him and find out when you died that he's real? I mean, seriously, once you know he's real, you can't deny it. You can try to fight as a pig-headed mule that I have been, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work, because by yourself, you're really nothing. You know, people go on their feelings and emotions. I come across that all the time as chaplain and psychologist. And your feelings don't have, you may feel like running a red light because you got to pick up your pet by a certain time because they're going to close, and you killed two children in the traffic light. But you felt like running the light. Don't you see? Feelings don't have a place. The Holy Spirit has a place, but not your feelings. Unless you have discernment of feelings, you have nothing.
Well, and I think you had to probably learn that the hard way, because that brings me to the next quote that stood out to me in your book on page 113 of Stop the Wheel, I Want to Get Off. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Dr. and Chaplain Susan Stafford and the original hostess on Wheel of Fortune. On page 113, Susan, you say, quote, "I didn't feel accepted by my siblings. Mom and Dad, unconditional love. But when I didn't experience that kind of love from my husband's, it became difficult to stay. And the reason I want to bring this up, Susan, is because at the end of it all, I'm reminded of the scripture that says God is love. And unless someone knows Jesus Christ, the lover of their soul, do you think no matter who they're married to, no matter how much money they make, no matter how much fame they garner, that they can truly, really feel loved in their soul?
Well, absolutely not. Because you see, most of the people that have that status have paid the public relations man to put it in there, and then they believe it because they read it, but they've placed it, if that makes any sense at all. The Lord sees our hearts, and we will be judged accordingly to our hearts. Your deeds don't mean anything, but when you do something and it's from your heart, He knows your heart. He knows why you're doing something, and He knows why you're doing it. Any thought itself takes away from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is such a gentle, such a way to live. It's hard sometimes in today's world to live it, but there's no other way, because fear fades when we trust our Father. I have to share this with you. We are exactly where the Lord wants us to be. We are, I mean, our grandmothers, grandfathers, generation before us. What's important, the generation before us or the next generation? No. Proverbs says the generation right now, your own generation, is what you want to focus on. Because if you don't focus on your own generation, it can help the next generation if you don't care of the issues of today's generation. And I might add, if we don't pray for Israel, I have to say this, you really don't know the Bible. We're in Africa, and we're in Ethiopia. We're everywhere that we're supposed to be, that God wants us to be. And you try to give them the Word of God. And if you can't, because of a language problem, they can see your heart and your efforts. That's what our missionaries before us did. And so, you know, focus on Acts 13:16 says, you know, David says, serve this generation by the will of God. We cannot go back to the last generation, and we can only reach the next generation by serving the one we have.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to author, chaplain, doctor of psychology, and former original hostess of the iconic Wheel of Fortune game show, celebrating over 40 years and syndicated in over 42 countries, and founder of Will of Grace Unlimited Ministries. You can learn more about Dr. Susan Stafford by going to her website, SusanStafford.org, and pick up her book, Stop the Wheel, I Want to Get Off. Susan, thank you for being with us today on Testimony. God bless you for your work in the U.S., around the world, and with Israel. It's amazing, and thank you for being with us today on Testimony.
Thank you, Jensine. Thank you.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.